practicing God's presence this Christmas and practicing his presence every day. And I just love that Christ wants us to have his presence more than anything else. Now, our God is good and gracious, and he gives good gifts. How many of you believe the Father gives good gifts? Amen. He gives us the gift of his Son, Jesus Christ, and salvation. He gives us the blessed Holy Spirit. He gives us the church of Jesus Christ. He gives us friendship. He gives us compassion and mercy. Tell me some other things that God gives.
He gives us a mother.
He gives us a mother. He gives us a... Thank you. He gives us the Father. He gives us a... Come on. What else does God give us? Brother. Wait a minute. What?
A spouse.
Okay. Gives us that one. All right. What else does he give us?
Grandchildren.
You know what else he gives us? He gives us spiritual gifts. He gives us love. Okay. Gives us a lot of great stuff. So Jesus is the giver, but he's also the gift. He gives himself. So this Christmas, you know, I've been trying to focus on that word presence, presence. We talked about his presence, and we're going to talk about it again today in another little slant next weekend for candlelight, but we talk about the gift of God and how good he is. So we approach Christmas with our families in that manner, and we have so many opportunities to be with families, to decorate, to wrap, to bake, not bake one another, bake one another, that'd be kind of weird. Anyway, and watch movies. Y'all ever watch Christmas movies with your family? You got favorite Christmas movies? Yeah, we won't talk about those today. Okay, but anyway, just choice. But we watch how our presence when one another hopefully enriches each other. It enriches family. It enriches the spirit of Christmas. But the presence of Christ, that's what we want to really have. So I look at that screen, I just go, practicing God's presence. God, I don't want to miss you. Lord, I could get all the tinsel, I could get the food, I could get the presents right, but I might miss you. So Lord, help me not to. So it made me think about a book that I read decades ago, and I've talked to you about it before, and he was about a 1600 monk, and he was a poor guy. He entered into the ministry as a Catholic monk, as a layman, and he had a job. He had two jobs. He was a dishwasher, and he was a cobbler, but he loved God, and his name was Brother Lawrence. Just write down the word Brother Lawrence. You ought to, practicing the presence of God. It is a classic writing. It's an easy read. It's one of the neatest books I've ever read, and it's so simple, and the whole premise behind the book is whatever we do, we can practice the presence of Jesus. And he said, when I wash these dishes in the monastery, it's a menial job, but I practice the presence of Christ. If I do your shoes, if I shine your shoes, if I bake a cake, if I, you know, if I do the yard, if whatever I do, I do it to the glory of God. So he radiated holiness from his life. And so he's known for devotion and his ability to bring God into every aspect of his life. You know, that's what God calls us as Christ followers. Bring my son to bear. Bring my son into the light. Be devoted to him. Practice his presence. Rejoice in the everyday tasks. Pray constantly. And he did that so well that Brother Lawrence was known by his kindness and his willingness to always help others. Sounds kind of like the story of St. Nicholas, doesn't it? Sounds more like the story of Jesus. Jesus was a kind, gracious, merciful God that came and dwelled and lived among us for a while. And he left, and he went back to glory. But I tell you all the time, he'll come. He's coming back. He's coming again. And that's the hope of Christians. So here, I want you to write down this one thought. Here's Brother Lawrence's key. My only prayer practice is attention. I want to pay attention to what's in front of me and what's around me. So he was always paying attention, and he was always giving his best to those things. I go, wow, Brother Lawrence, we can learn so much from you about the presence of God, because if we're not careful, we let noise and clutter and people and relationships and different voices just crowd us and knock out the joy. I mean, sometimes, you know, we can't wait for Christmas to be over. And, you know, like when you're an extrovert like me, you kind of crave more energy. If you're an introvert, you're not craving it. But I still have those times that I like solace, that I like solitude. I know y'all don't believe that, but I really do. But I know this, the reason for the season is Emmanuel, God with us. He's here. He's here at the table with the widows today. He's here with the orphans. He's here with the singles. He's here with the married people. He's here with grandparents. Thank you, Jesus. We need him. He's here. He's here among us. He's even with us in the midst of when we sit with our enemies. And now turn to the person next to him and tell them about your enemy, the one that you really cannot stand this season. No, don't do that. We're in the church. If you had that person, you already said, Pastor, already had three. You just said, name one. Start praying for them. You know, I learned that a long time ago. You start praying, and God changes you. Hey, I want you to turn over to Psalm 16. A little different passage. I'm going to do a lot of different passages. I'm going to give you a lot of the word. I don't have like just a, you know, this is my 28th Christmas season. So I've preached Christmas about every way I know how. And this year I'm taking it a little different, and I'm going to just integrate it with full of scripture and stories, because I want you to be full of the word of God that has the power to transform and change your heart and your mind. But look at 16, Psalm 16. And I want you to look at verse 11. And I'm going to read it from the New American Standard, because it has a few words that are a little different. Maybe if you're looking at NLT, the NIV, it'd be a little different. But listen to this. Here's what the psalmist says. Where do we find fullness of joy? In God's presence. You will make known to me the path of life. In your presence is fullness of joy. In your right hand there are pleasures forever. And I looked at that and I go, man, I love that. Because have you ever noticed little kids? Our little granddaughter, we got to spend some time with her again yesterday and Friday. Mary Seeger's little baby, she's a year old. She'll be 13 months old tomorrow. Or today? I think today. Today. They have the ability to light you up. How many know that when you got little kids? They just light you up. It doesn't matter. She can have food all over her. And if it was an adult, you would go, gross. But somehow it's so cute on her. But she has this thing. She walks in a room and she goes, ah. And I think, man, we need to get oxygen. She's so in awe of our Christmas tree, of this, of that. She's just, oh, she's just stunned with life. Joy in her is infectious. I know when you see me, you go, Pastor, oh, you don't do that. When you see your spouse, you go, oh. You say, well, I used to. No, you know. Or when you see your dog, don't tell me, you probably get excited. Have you ever noticed your dog, they go, oh. Because you got a treat in your pocket. Okay. But you know why kids do that? Because they hadn't been crushed by life yet. They're experiencing the newness. And sometimes you and I need a new word for Christmas. We want the joy of Christ to fill us this Christmas. That life's kind of hammered us down and crushed us, but we don't have to stay there. We can rise up. Because when His presence, when the presence of Christ comes, it fills us with joy. I find this odd that I just preached 16 weeks out of Philippians about unstoppable joy. Here in Christmas, I'm still talking about joy. I pray when I preach my last message, I'm still talking about the joy of the risen Christ that fills us. So here, I'm going to give you three words out of this. This isn't in your notes. This is bonus, and then we're going to get into it real quick. Here, there's three words. This is good preaching. It's called alliteration. It's peas. I love to say peas. When I say peas, I spit. All right, here you go. Path, presence, and pleasures. And in that scripture, you see here, there's a path. He talks about we'll find joy in His presence. He'll make known to us not a path. He said the path of life. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. Jesus is the path. You know what's wrong with us men? We can't ask for directions half the time. But Jesus is the way. Jesus is the path. In the world, people need to know the path is Christ. And our world in 2023 is pretty ridiculously confused. They don't know which ends up. They don't know what they believe. They can't even decide if there's 50 genders or two. There's two, male and female. Hallelujah. That's the way God made us. There's one path. Christ reveals Himself to us as the gift of life to receive. All right, so there's a path. Look at the second one. There's a presence. When Christ comes to you, the presence of God comes to fill you. He gives you inner joy, inner lightness, a joyful resolve, because Christ in you is a resolve for life. So whatever you and I go through, we have Christ. That presence that shows up. You know, one person called it the blessed presence of Jesus. I like that. His blessed presence. This Christmas, let Christ fill you as you sit around your tree. And you sit there with a cup of coffee or a cup of hot. See, I don't drink coffee, but I drink a cup of hot chocolate during the Christmas season. I like when it gets cold because Donna knows he's going to the pantry to get hot chocolate. I just like it. You know, the rest of the year, hey, a little cider. I like to drink cider with my wife. But to drink coffee with y'all, I don't understand it. I know. When I get big, when I grow up, I'll learn. The third, the pleasures here. He says, you know, Jesus talks about my pleasures at my right hand. The enduring satisfaction. You know what pleasure is? It's doing the will of God. Write that down. Pleasure is doing the will of God. And guess who executed the will of God? Jesus. He left heaven to come to earth to give his life as a perfect sacrifice. That whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. That's the gospel of grace. That's the gospel of Christmas. And we can leave right now and go, Pastor, I'm ready. But hey, I'm just getting started, okay? I just want to give that to you. All right, here we go. All right, give me the first slide here. I think it'll come up. See? Can you reflect? Maybe when you're in college or high school, or maybe it's your kid or your grandkid, and you think, man, they're always in the room, you got a cup of coffee. But I like this picture here because this person's thinking about worship. They're thinking about God encompasses those that worship him. So here's the first point. Get ready. Seven tips for practicing the presence during the busyness of the holiday season. Number one, start your day with him. Start your day with him. It's the first point here. And give him praise in his presence. It's what we do when we come into the house of the Lord. And I like what Psalm 100 says. The 100th chapter, the verse 2 through 4 says, come into his presence with singing and enter into his courts with grumbling. With praise. Enter his courts with praise. This morning, I kind of messed y'all up on those first two songs because some of you knew them and you didn't, but you were enjoying, you were praising him from your heart. Lenore, thank you. You were worshiping. I saw you back there. You had your arms up. All right, man, praise God. She's going to enter in. She just wants to worship. But then as we started seeing words, I saw more of you entering into worship, but we come with a grateful, prayerful heart. This next slide, just a simple picture that I hope you do daily. I hope daily you just come into the presence of the Lord and you praise him that he kept you through the night, that he strengthened you. Matter of fact, let me take a quick pause there. I want us to pray for Bob. I've been on the phone with Bob. Bob had emergency surgery the other night at 9 o'clock. When I talked to him on the phone, he sounded like death. It was really, really bad. I was talking to Amy, and I had the sweetest time of prayer with him. When I talked to him yesterday, he's in ICU, talked to Amy, and then Bob got on there with him, and he sounded like a resurrected man. He had two fusions on his neck that got rid of a lot of infection that had gotten in his body, and he's on the way to healing. And I told him his church, the table would pray. So let's pray for Bob right now. Lord Jesus, we pray for the healing power of you, Jesus, to rest and touch and heal and make Bob whole. Raise him up, sustain him and strengthen him, and give Amy grace as she walks with her husband. Lord, we praise you for your power, Jesus. And thank you, God, for bringing Linda and Pat back into the house. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Man, I knew there was something I was supposed to do today. I had to pray for Bob. When y'all see Bob, tell him, hey, we prayed for you. Amen. All right. So praise in his presence. We come into his courts. So here's a question. Have you tasted of the sweet cup of joy, which David writes here, is better than headaches, heartaches, heartburn? Because sometimes, does your emotional battery ever get a little low? Sure. And God wants to charge it up today. You know, when your battery gets low, what happens? Your car doesn't start. You know, everything gets kind of weak. Well, God wants to charge us. It's the reservoir of joy needs to be replenished. I think that's what it does when we sing the praises of Hosanna. When we sing the praises of Jesus, he gets lifted up. God lifts us up. We don't need some chemically induced deal. We need a spirit-infused Christ to fill us. And the church said, you know, another thing, maybe start a joy journal. Just start a joy journal. Like I'm just joyful in Christ, and I want to write some of those down so I can remember them. And in this season, I'm going to share them with my kids and grandkids because the Bible says in Psalm 22, verse 3, God inhabits the praises of his people. He inhabits the praises of his kids. You know what Psalm 84, 10 through 11 says? We used to sing this song, I'd rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than dwell in the tents of wickedness. For the Lord God is a sun and a shield. The Lord bestows favor and honor. No good thing does he withhold from those who walk uprightly. I don't know about you. I'd love to be a doorkeeper in the house of God. And God's got different assignments for us. I know you're saying, but Miss Zelda's already got that job. Guys, I think heaven is really, really, really big. We just think there was one of a kind. I bet there's a lot of Zelda spirits in heaven. And they all up there, you know, she's probably having coffee with them every day at 4 o'clock. You know, I don't know. Believe me, if any of our time makes it to heaven, there is coffee time in heaven at 4, just because of that lady. Matter of fact, when I look at my watch at 4 o'clock, I just think about Zelda. I go, yeah, they're having coffee. Okay, all right, so let's keep. So we walk in the presence of God. And the presence of God is better than anything, because in the presence of God, the scripture said there is fullness of joy. So, Lord, thank you for that insight today. We see that when we start our day with you. Look at the second one. Keep a gratitude journal to remind you of his goodness as you write in his presence. Point two. Got it? Keep a gratitude journal. I talked to you about that at Thanksgiving, having a heart of gratitude. And maybe you started it then. Maybe, oh, man, I meant to, Pastor. I forgot. I got busy. I didn't notice. But I know I need to. Because practicing gratitude is a great way to feel the Spirit of Christ. It's a great way to enjoy the spirit of the season. It, you know what gratitude does? It turns my heart and yours, and it focuses it on God. It focuses not on the circumstances and the situation and the pain, but it focuses on the goodness and the mercy and the blessings of the Almighty. Have y'all experienced the blessings of the Almighty? Amen. Amen. And you want to focus and you want to praise him and you want to share that praise with another. And you want to tell other people about what you're grateful for. And people are drawn to that. If you walk up and go, life's hard. I just want to be healed. I'm going to run. I mean, you can only take so much of that. Like this morning, how you doing, Pastor? Man, I'm doing great. Man, my arm, it was hurting after surgery. Now it didn't hurt. Now I can roll over on that side. It's healing up. I can feel strength coming. I give praise. Linda came in this morning. Matter of fact, when I saw her in the hall, I looked out there, and she was walking. No walker, just walking. I said, praise God. I said, just keep walking. Walk on over to the keyboard. No, I didn't say that. I was just so glad to see her. I just wanted her to come in the house. And she already told me, she goes, man, I've been missing you, preacher. I've been missing our church. She goes, I've been watching TV, but it's not like being here. The church said. That's why I love being in the house of God. And we'll talk about that in a minute. So keep a gratitude. A gratitude mindset changes the perspective of our life circumstances. It gets us less centered on ourselves and more on Jesus. We think about what we're grateful for. In Psalm 118:1, give thanks for the Lord. He is good. His love endures forever. And it invites us to truly connect with the everlasting God, Emmanuel. He's with us. Third, gather in his presence with his family. You knew I'd get there. We get to gather today and every Sunday morning, if the Lord tarries, in his presence. We gather at 9000 Vaughan Road. Pretty soon we'll gather in Dalreda. But we'll gather as a family of faith. And it'll be a joyful time in the Lord. So God, you know, here, listen to this. God places a hunger in the heart of every Christian, young or old, to gather with his people, to sing, to pray, to fellowship, and to hear his word. But God has always had a people. They call it a remnant. And he loves to gather his kids. And when God gathers his kids find strength. They find infusion. They find joy. They find forgiveness. They find grace. They find direction. They find guidance. They find help. They find hope in the living Christ. Could you imagine this world without Christ? Guys, have y'all watched the news lately? It's a sick, depraved, degenerate, wicked, evil. Give me another word.
Immoral.
Perverse. You heard it here. World. But Jesus is full of hope and joy and peace and resurrection and life. You're like, Pastor, I like how you take us down, but then you take us back up. I always take you back up in the Savior. I don't want to leave you depressed. So we gather in his presence. I was going to ask you this, but I got to keep going because somehow it's getting a little late. But I was going to ask you, what does it mean to you? Just write it there and ask yourself or ask somebody. Hey, ladies, why don't y'all start with this your next time maybe when y'all gather in January? What does it mean to you to gather in his presence with my sisters in Christ or with the body of Christ? What does it mean to you? And see, I just gave you a free pass, so you won't even have to teach the first lesson. They'll just talk the whole time because I've been with them. They just they have a great time. Don't say anything. They're awesome. All right. So we get strength. We get authority in Christ. We get to go forward in Christ. All right, let me move to this one. We get rekindled worship. Oh, listen to this. I love Colossians. Write down Colossians 3:16. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. That's what we do when we sing. That's what we do when we pray. That's what we do when we receive the word of Christ together. We get rekindled. You know, when you got a fire in a fireplace, you have to go over there, you have to stoke the fire. What does it do? It revives it. Comes back. It's full of life. Oh, Mark Hart the other day sent me a little picture from his house. He'd been working all day in his yard, and he had a little picture there, and he had his fire going. I went, oh. He was basically saying, this is my happy place. I get revived sitting here. Well, you know what? As good as a fire is, there's nothing revives you like the presence of Christ. It'll revive your soul. It'll revive your life. It'll revive your friendships. God calls us family. Matter of fact, I'm going to give you a couple of scriptures you probably never thought about when you think about family, and I found these in study. Scripture says God places the lonely in families. Psalm 68:6. He places the lonely in families. And then he says, anyone who does God's will is my brother and sister and mother. Mark 3:35. Somebody just said, well, Pastor, it's just me. Let me tell you, no, it's not just you. You got the body of Christ. We're brothers and sisters. We're family. Maybe you got some extended family. Maybe you got some family you think about voting out this year. I don't know. But no, I'm just kidding. I mean, you probably want to, but you can't. But you got family. And we're together. So look at the fourth one. Let's go to that one. We reflect in his presence. I love that. We reflect about the goodness of God, not shopping and travel or attending events. Because if I got focused on that all the time, it hijacks my mind. It hijacks my spirits. It derails me from my proper worship. So I want to focus on Christ. I want to reflect on his presence. I've learned this. Christmas season is awesome. I love it. I can never seem to get enough of it. But if you and I are not careful getting the focus on Christ, we can lose our focus. Does anybody know what I'm talking about? It's easy to lose your focus, even with all the music and all the people ringing the kettles for Salvation Army and all the, you know, you give money to this and you do this and you serve and you do, you know, whatever. I mean, those are all great things. But if you're not careful, you don't work on your focus every day, you'll lose it. So let us draw near to the Christ. So Christmas season, Lord, the God of all grace, you make us strong. You restore us. You make us firm and steadfast as 1 Peter. Right in 1 Peter 5:10-11. So we choose gratitude right in the middle of this. We say, Lord, you made us. You know us. I know I need your help when I'm weak. Help me see the small moments that really do contain opportunities to be grateful. Give me courage to do what pleases you this Christmas season, Jesus. Maybe right now, there's more that Christ has for you to do. Maybe there's a neighbor right now that God's calling you to minister to them. Maybe to go have a cup of coffee or share a meal or take a meal or invite them to a service next weekend. That'd be a great thing to do. Don and I, we're always inviting people. I teach this big study in our neighborhood, and most of them have churches, but we have this one couple, they don't. And we're ministering to them. It's just kind of been a slow build. You know, did you know God's not in a hurry? And just keep sowing it and loving. But he sent me a note that day. He said, I just want you to know, keep being patient. I'm coming. And one day, when pastor's over here with a coordinator, he's sitting on the side, because my friend just walked in because he wants to come. You know, do you know you got to keep issuing invitations, because you never know that one time you invite, it might be the opportunity. Their heart is so ready and they go, I'll be there. The other day I was told something I never knew. When I met Vicki and all them at Sports Palace in 1996, I invited them to church. And I remember I had a great time with Vicki. She bought an ad for my little girl for cheerleading. She said, come back, eat with me. And I went back there and ate till she closed the restaurant. Been eating her food for 28 years. And I didn't know this because my mind just had, every time I looked at their family, there was three rows of them at AUM. Okay, they were just like, and we had so many people, it's crazy. But she said, you know, but Debbie says, Pastor, we didn't come that first Sunday. Our mama went. Oh, Mama Zelda led the way, did she? But guess who all came the next Sunday? All of them, because Mama Zelda was a little persuasive. And I love that. And so you know what? You never know. You invite, what happens? A life can be changed. A marriage, a family, families. I mean, it's just, God's just so good. Lord, we just want to reflect the many reasons of God. We prepare our hearts for focusing. We get authentic. But let me give you a quote I found by Paul Tripp. I want you to write this quote. This is a great quote. Talk about the reflecting on the presence of God. If you don't reflect on the presence of God, something else will fill it. It's called worry. And I've talked to you about worry. But listen to this quote. Worry forgets God's presence. Say it again. Worry forgets God's presence. Or I could have said, that's Paul Tripp's translation. Here's mine. Worry cancels God's presence. This Christmas, don't cancel the presence of Jesus. Don't let your worry overwhelm you and overtake you. And the church said, that's a good word, isn't it, church? So here it is. See there? Old teenager, your granddaughter, your daughter just sitting up there, you know, just kind of minding her business, right? But I think that kid was probably sitting there maybe journaling, maybe reading a scripture, maybe hearing a word from the Lord, what we ought to be doing. So, five, look at five. As you're wrapping gifts, pray for the person whose gift you're wrapping in his presence. Is that a good practical word? If you're wrapping presents for somebody, don't go, don't even like them anyway. No. Man, what a joy to be able to have this, to be able to give you a gift. And I want to pray blessings as you. I hope this will be meaningful. Or you just, you wrap that and you give it to them and you're praying for them. It's just, it's spiritual. It brings Christ. You imagine, you speak. Lord, surround blank with your light. Fill blank with your peace. Does anybody know what I'm talking about? You're wrapping presents. You can ask Donna. I'm a horrible wrapper. I mean, my family laughs when I wrap. They go, Dad, you wrap that? But yeah, how'd you know? It's just not very good. But, you know, I wrap some. And Donna, she's exquisite. She wraps these beautiful. I mean, if I'd had to make my living wrapping at some department store, I'd been homeless looking for a sleeping bag this Christmas. I mean, it would have been bad. How many men can identify with me? You don't rap very good. Come on. All right, the rest of it. Ken, you rap good gifts? That ain't even, you're a contractor. I expect more out of you. Okay. Here, write it down. Wrap your holidays in prayer. Amen? Have a sincere heart. Bring glory to the Heavenly Father. Submit to Him. Look at six. As Christmas cards come in, thank God for that family. Pray for them celebrating the presence active in their lives. This is a rich tradition for our family. We send cards across the country. We've done it for our whole married life. We love doing that. We love receiving cards. And a great practice is when you receive that card, pray for them. One of the things I like to do is when I go down to maybe put them in the mail, I like to pray for them as I put them in the mail. You know, it's a spiritual exercise. You give thanks. And when they come in. So I was reading this thing by this guy. His name's Bob Rogers. I thought this was great. He said he had this habit. He said what he did is we like to put our cards on the pantry door and we adore them and people come in and see them. It's just kind of a fun thing. But he said what they do, they throw them in a basket. And this is a great thing. And he said, and after Christmas, then we keep them. And we take, like, depending on how many cards you get, he says, but at least for 1 week, we pray for that family every day. We pull out a card, we pick that family, we go, we're praying for them the whole week of the first week of January. And then the second, and however many cards you get, you go that long. And then when you end, you go, okay, look forward to doing that again next Christmas. Isn't that kind of a good practical idea? Instead of going, oh, what a pretty card, oh, what a pretty family, throw it in the trash. Or put it on a wall. Man, you keep it. I mean, I don't know. I love photos. Maybe you do. So there's a habit of just, here it is. I'm thank God for that family. And the seventh, this is so critical, and I'm going to land it. Remember the hurting as you focus on the presence of Christ. Remember the hurting. Oop. And there's some people that are getting loud now. There's some people that are hurting. I don't know who they are. Maybe you do, maybe you don't. And those people, you just want to be gracious to them. You want to lean into them. You know, I told the widows as we kicked off our luncheon the other day, Christmas can be a lonely time for them. Mealtime or coming to church by themselves, but they can't wait to get here and get a hug, get loved on. Maybe you send them a card. Maybe bake them some cookies. Maybe give them a present. Maybe whatever you want to do. Just, God, show me. But, Lord, there's other people hurting. There are people that are in the hospital. There are people that are struggling down the street. They've got a bad situation in their family. God, show us how to care for them. Lord, help us to remember the hurting. And I'm going to give you some scriptures I want you to write down. These are good. I just found these. Psalm 147:3. Because if your heart's broken, hold on to the promises of God. And here's what the psalmist says. He heals the brokenhearted and he bandages their wounds. Don't you love that about God? He heals the brokenhearted. Listen to Psalm 34:18. The Lord is near to those who are discouraged, and he saves those who have lost all hope. You've lost your hope? Trust in God. God comes near to those who are discouraged that call on him. And then Isaiah 26:3, I love this passage. I think, ladies, the widows, I think it's on your sheet that I gave you the other day. You will keep in perfect peace those whose minds are steadfast because they trust in you. I love it. Lord, you are the God that fills us. And let me give you one more. Romans 15:13, my favorite passage out of Romans. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Lord, fill us with the hope of Christ this Christmas. The last screen. Can you read it with me? All the Christmas presents in the world are worth nothing without the presence of Christ. Christ, Jesus, Messiah, Lord, King, come. Fill us. Fill this place. Fill your people. Give us your life. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we are grateful for the season, for the hope and the joy of Christ, but most of all for his presence that's come to dwell, to fill, to empower us, to live in us, to live through us. Jesus, help us to be more like Brother Lawrence, that we practice you in the mundane things of life, that we practice your presence in coming and going, and that in all things, Jesus Christ is exalted above all. In the name of Christ, God's family said,
Amen.
Amen.